thank you for tuning in to the radio ministry of Clearview Church. At Clearview, our focus is making Christ visible and providing an atmosphere of worship and community. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for this week's message by Pastor Abadan Shah.
Today's message is called Training. Hopefully it will answer some of those questions and help us and guide us in reaching our children. The basic premise is this: God has ordained parents to be the primary coaches in their children's lives. God has called us to lead our children in the way, and how our children play the game of life is dependent on how we train them. And hopefully today's message will encourage you, not discourage you. Please don't misunderstand. The goal is not to induce more guilt on you and make you feel worse because your kids are not where they need to be. This is to help you pray better. And I'm preaching this morning not as an expert, but as a fellow coach in the game of life. You have your Bibles with you, Proverbs 22, verse 6, a very familiar passage. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. There's a right way, then there's a wrong way. God is telling us and giving us the promise that if you lead them in the right way, and when they are older, they may leave, but they will come back. But there is a right way and a wrong way. Now, before we try to understand that, do you know the way? And the way is not a series of do's and don'ts. This way is Jesus Christ. In John 14, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." This morning, do you know the way? Do you know Christ? Are you truly saved? Have you received Him as your Savior? Before we dive into this message, there are two things I want to clarify very quickly. The first is this: some people think that Proverbs are not promises. They consider Proverbs as more like general observations, common sense tips, practical suggestions, but they're not on the same level as the rest of the Bible. I disagree. If you ever read Proverbs carefully, you notice that repeatedly Solomon has sprinkled the entire book with this one phrase, fear of the Lord. He begins Proverbs 1 verse 7 with, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Means there are many proverbs in this world, and some of them may even sound like the proverbs in this book, but the reason the ones in this book have made it into the book is because God has chosen them to be in His Word. They are timeless truths. You can bank on them. You can build your life, your children, your family on these proverbs. They are promises. The second thing I want to clarify quickly is that some people claim that the traditional understanding of Proverbs 22:6, which is if you lead them in the right way, even if they lose their way, they're going to come back to it. Some people claim that that's no longer true. That's not what the Bible is really talking about. And I've spent a lot of time studying the Hebrew in the context. Guess what? It is exactly what it says. So what does it say? There are four aspects in this proverb that we need to unpack. The first is the child. Train up a child. The Hebrew word is nahar, which can mean anywhere from an unborn child to a young man or a young woman. In this context, it's about early training, which means it's more like a young child. Psychologists and educators are divided over what age at which a child's personality is set. Some claim 4, some claim 7, some claim 18. I believe the earlier, the better. I liken children to a sweet gum tree. Sweet gum trees are so pretty, so beautiful. You can line the yard with them. But what happens when they start growing, they drop these things that become missiles when you use a lawnmower over them. And you try to walk out on them and you slip or it's not fun. So what do? You want to cut them down. Get rid of the sweet gum trees. Have you ever tried? I have. You're going to burn a chainsaw on one. And if not, you're going to cut your hand. The earlier, the better. The sooner you can begin with your children, the better are your chances to train them in the right way. We have an emphasis on children's ministry, not because we want to fill this church. God fills the church. Because I truly believe in my mind and my heart that if you begin early with your children, the chances are better. The second aspect is the way. Train up a child in the way. Now, repeatedly in Proverbs, that word direct is used for God's way and man's way, sinful way. The first is the way of the Bible. The second is the way of the world. The first is the way that leads to blessings. It is not problem-free, but it leads to blessings. The second may not be as problematic, but it leads to destruction. Proverbs 1:15, my son, do not walk in the way with them, which means sinful men. Keep your foot from their path. That's the bad way. 3:31, do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways. 4:11, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. Proverbs 10:29, the way of the Lord is strength for the upright. 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. It means when you put these ways side by side, it seems like, why not just choose this? And then you realize it's a way of destruction. Proverbs 23:19, hear my son and be wise and guide your heart in the way. Parents, I want you to hear carefully. You have been ordained by God to lead your children in the right way, in God's way, the way of truth, and do it early. Now, most parents misunderstand what this means. They misunderstand the context and the aspect of the way. What most parents think is the way is like a pie, with each slice representing a key aspect of their child's life. So there is the pie of friends, the pie of family, the Jesus pie, the Jesus slice, the relationship slice, the sports, the education, the music, the drama, the hobbies. And what they think is the way is that one slice that fits into the pie of life. Do all these things and make sure you don't forget Jesus now. What happens typically is the other slices take over and the Jesus slice falls out. Here's a better illustration. Faith, I believe, is more like the dough of the pie, which then gets divided into other aspects of life. So the faith is the heart of the person. And then from there is music and athletics and education and relationships and career and all the rest. Your child is not a good student, a good athlete, a good musician, a good friend, and yes, a good Christian. The better way is your child is a Christian who also happens to be a good student, a good athlete, a good musician, all the rest. It's a lifestyle. It's a way. You cannot say, I'm on the way, but now I'm on a different way, and then I'm going to be on a different way, and then, oh, wait a minute, I got to go back on the way for a little bit. You are walking on the way, and there are stops that you make. Athletics, music, friends, relationships, career, drama, whatever it is. But you have to be walking on the way. It is a lifestyle. It's a mindset. It's a worldview. And what you have to do with your children is to immerse them in the way. The third aspect is training. The Hebrew word is kanok, which is actually a rare word found only four times in the Old Testament. That word kanok actually means dedication. Like you dedicate a building. You dedicate a building. Like a house to live. You dedicate a temple to worship. You dedicate an altar to sacrifice. So also you dedicate a child to walk in the way. But unlike a building that has to be dedicated only once, the building is an inanimate object. It doesn't have a life of its own. A child has a will, has a mind, has friends, has peer pressure. The building doesn't have peer pressure. But a child has to be dedicated daily to walk in that way, which is another word of training. You have to train them. Now the Bible, thank goodness, tells us how to train our children in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6. I want you to hear that verse very carefully, and then I'm going to draw some inferences from that passage. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, talking to the parents. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Here are some points. This training, this daily dedication is not a one-time event. It is a 24/7 job. You cannot train if you're always gone. Now, I know that's tough for families who have loved ones in service. It's hard for families where, for business sake, you have to travel. It is what it is. But I believe we're living in 2018 where there are many ways to connect back with our children. Many years ago when our church was very small, some of you may remember that, I used to do a lot of traveling. Because the church was small, it wasn't growing. So I said, Lord, I'm going to stay here. This is my home base. I'm not leaving this church. I told the church family the same thing, but I said, I need to go and preach here and preach there. So I was doing revivals all the time. I was going here, there, everywhere, doing conferences, seminars. And what I noticed in the process is that I was losing a grip on the family. And I told God, I said, God, I don't care about any of this. I want to finish well with my children. You know what God said? Then you cannot travel like you're doing right now. And thank goodness I made that decision. I know it's tough on families where someone has to travel, but listen, there are ways that you can still be connected with your children. It's a 24/7 job. Here's number two. Training is not accidental, but intentional. It means you have to seek every opportunity to teach them. You have looked for opportunity to talk to them about the faith. And the best opportunity, would you like to know, is where? Around the dinner table. Training is not authoritarian, but empathetic, which means this. You cannot sit back like, well, my daddy did it. It's not about how your daddy did it. Now it's your turn to do it the right way. It's not my way or the highway. It's not you better or else. There are ways that you understand where your children are coming from. That's not compromising. Understand the culture and the context in which your children are living. Be empathetic. Would you agree with me this morning that it is tougher for children, for young people today than it was when we were growing up? Oh no, the air conditioner. It's not about the air conditioner and the cars and the fridge. It's about temptation. Would you agree that the temptations are much harder and much tougher than it used to be? I mean, these young kids are being bombarded. I mean, you had to go to the store to buy pornography. Now it is on at your fingertips. And these kids are at an early age being bombarded by these images. Understand where they're coming from. Be kind about it. Here's something else. Training is not irrational, but logical. Means don't say, don't ask dumb questions. You have to explain. Let me tell you why we don't do that. Let me tell you why you shouldn't do this. Let me tell you why you should wait. Training is not cherry picking, but also balanced, which means it's not just giving them your favorite passages. Don't just tell them, if you do this, this is bad, going to happen. How about also teaching them the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, the mercy of God, the love of God, the compassion of God? Give them the whole counsel of God. Training is not harsh, but it is firm. It is firm, which means this, there has to be age-appropriate discipline. There is an age where you will spank your kids. You say, well, I don't do that. Okay, God bless you. Some days your kid will turn out worse than the terrorist in ISIS. And some parent is going to have to deal with it. Some spouse is going to have to deal with it. Some employer will have to deal with it. Some teacher and educator will have to deal with it. But there comes an age, a time when there's a transition. You don't do those methods when they grow up. They lose privileges. You take away things. And it's tough. But you have to, because that's part of training. What happens, basketball coaches, when the kids don't do what's right? Run the laps. So also in life, there are consequences. Training is not disheartened, but it's patient. It means there are times you will tell your kids and tell them again, and they still go and do that stupid thing, whatever it is. Parents go, "Pastor, I don't know what to do." And I often ask them, "Did you tell them?" "Yeah, we did." "Well, tell them again." And tell them again. And tell them again. And tell them again. And here's the last one, very important. Training is not just taught, but it's also caught. You've heard that phrase before. It's not just what you are telling them. Are you modeling it with your life? Not do as I say, not as I do. You have to show them by your lifestyle that you are doing what you're telling them and expecting them to do. And you're going to have to eat crow many times. You know how many times I walked into my kids' bedroom, daughters and sons, knocked on the door and said, "Hey, listen, just want to tell you before you go to sleep, I'm sorry. I should not have lost my temper. I'm sorry. I should not have been. I'm sorry. This." Hey, listen, you have to model it for them. It's not enough to say, "Well, y'all go to church." You have to go to church. You have to receive Christ as your Savior as well. So here's the question. Based on this, starting early with your children, training them in the way, you know the way, it is a lifestyle. It's not just a way part of the time. You have to be walking on it. And then training, which is a 24/7, intentional, empathetic, logical, balanced, firm, patient, and modeled. How are you training your children? And here's the fourth, the last one, the promise. If you do this, there is a promise. And when the child is old, he or she will not depart from it. Now comes the tough question. Why do some children depart from it and don't come back? Why do some children, even though their parents have led them in the right way, they go off the deep end and do all the things they do, and they are doing and living that way when they know better? Why does it happen? Doesn't this verse apply? There's a lot of misunderstanding that I want to clear up today. There are two kinds of departing. The first is losing the way. The second is rebelling against your way. Losing the way is about pushing the limits. Losing the way has to do with peer pressure. Losing the way has to do with experimenting, with lust, with it's very secretive. How about the behavior in rebelling against the way? It's filled with anger. It's filled with hate. It's filled with bitterness. It's filled with pain. The source of losing the way are the lures of the world. The source is freedom. The source is the wrong crowd. How about rebelling? The source is, y'all ready? Hypocrisy. The source is legalism. The source is harshness. You know what hypocrisy is? What we just talked about. Do as I say, not as I do. Boy, if I ever catch you doing this and that, and yet you have a stash of pornography, you have it on your phones, the kids see it, they know the sites you've been looking through, they know the images that have been coming up. They see you in church, praising the Lord, teaching Sunday school, doing all the stuff, and yet on the back, they see how your eyes dart when you see a pretty woman. If you ever treat a woman like that, and yet you talk to your wife like she's a dirt, that's called hypocrisy. You better stay in church. You better be quiet in church. If I see you, I'm going to slap your face. And then you get home and you talk about how bad the preacher was and how bad the Sunday school teacher is and how you know more about them and who they are and what they do on the side and how they are on Monday morning. Legalism, which is all about rules that you have picked up from someone somewhere and you are imposing on your children without any regard to the whole counsel of God. In my house, this is a rule. In my house, that's the rule. And what they're getting is legalism, which is a natural-born killer, just as bad as liberalism. And they say to themselves, when I ever get out of this house, I'm never going to church. Losing the way is, I get to do all these things. Rebelling is, I hate my home, I hate my parents, I hate church, I hate authority. What is the attitude towards parents, church, and authority? The attitude in losing the way is one of shame, conviction, avoidance. The attitude under rebelling is disrespect, anger, belligerence. I fell in the first category. I lost my way. I remember when I was 16 years of age, parents bought me a motorcycle. And man, life was so great. Freedom, doing this, that, and the other, doing crazy stuff. Don't ask me what the crazy stuff is because it's none of your business. I remember this one day, it was in the late afternoon, and we heard this commotion. Some of the kids have been to our house, they know we're living like right on Dabney Drive kind of situation where our house, our church is on one of the main roads. And we heard this big commotion, so we ran outside. My dad went out there first, and this man apparently had a sugar attack or whatever it is, and he went into a shock. He slipped, fell off his motorcycle, and the motorcycle went under a car, and it just, you know, tore up the car, whatever. It was a big crowd beginning to gather. My dad ran outside, right outside our gate, and he saw the man, and he knew him. So he immediately tried to help him, but the man in the car came out, and he said, "Don't move him, because it's his motorcycle that hit my car, not my car, the motorcycle. So leave him where it is. I want the police to see this." My dad said, "No, you cannot leave the man. He is going into shock. He needs help." And he began to try to help. He said, "Don't leave him." And the next thing you know, the man comes out of his car trying to push my dad off. And the moment he reached out to push my dad off, my hand turned into a fist. I have no idea how it happened. And I reached back and I hit him so hard, he reeled back. Two people were shocked. The guy I socked and my dad. My dad looked at me and he went back to helping. When the dust settled, we went back in the house. My dad walked up to my mom with a little bit of pride in his heart. He said, "Guess what just happened?" And then he proceeded to tell my mom about how I got upset because this man put his hand on my dad. Now keep in mind, the night before we had a real knockdown, drag-out argument over what I was doing. But my losing the way had nothing to do with my parents. I love my parents. I respected them. When it comes to the other side, there is hatred, anger, belligerence against the parents. In the Bible, let me tell you very quickly, our time is short. There is a dad who didn't do some things right. One of his sons was Solomon, and the other son was Absalom. Solomon came from David's adulterous relationship with Bathsheba, and he killed off her husband, Uriah. The newborn had to die, and then Solomon was born through Bathsheba and David. What happened to Solomon? He became the wisest man. He became a great king, but he messed up. 1,000 wives and concubines. God was displeased with him. He lost his way. He never rebelled against his father. Now go back to Absalom. What happened to Absalom? Absalom was a third son from his wife, David's wife, Maacah. And Absalom killed off his brother Amnon because his brother Amnon had raped his sister. All three of them, David's sons and daughter. Absalom hated his father David because David did not do anything when his son had raped his daughter. What's the difference between Solomon and Absalom? The difference was Psalm 51. That's David's psalm of repentance. In Psalm 51, he says, after Bathsheba had and David had sinned and Nathan confronted him, he says, God, against you, you only have I sinned. Wash me thoroughly and cleanse me so that the bones you have broken may rejoice. There is David's psalm of repentance. There is no psalm of repentance when it comes to Absalom. Same dad, two sons, one lost his way and one horribly rebelled against his father. What is the promise? When it comes to losing the way, the promise is they'll be back. Hang on to the promise of God. They're coming back. How about rebelling against the way? Chances are very low. Because of their impression of the way. What they saw, they don't want to come back to. There's another group. They are neither losing the way, neither are they rebelling against the way. They're just confused about the way. He said, what does that mean? It means this: where you were spiritually when you were raising them is not where you are spiritually today. You raise them with a dash of Christianity, a little bit of Christianity, ritualistic, traditional, dead Christianity. Maybe the church was alive, but you didn't care. Maybe the church was dead, and that's all they got. And now guess what happened, parents? You grew up and you got right with God. And now you are walking with Jesus Christ. You are grounded in the Word. You're living by the Spirit. Your faith is alive. And your children are looking at you going, what happened? They haven't lost the way. They're not rebelling. They're just confused going, something changed in mom and dad. They become fanatics. So how do you deal with these three groups? The first one, losing the way, show love and forgiveness, be patient with them, pray for them, and have the solid hope they're coming back. How about rebelling against the way? You need to ask God's forgiveness. Well, it wasn't my fault. That's the kind of church I went to. It doesn't matter. Ask God's forgiveness, and then listen, if you're ready for this, ask your children's forgiveness and pray that they will find the way. They need to get saved. How about the one who are confused about the new way? Don't be impatient with them. Don't judge them. Understand their confusion. Pray for them. Share your life with them. Explain to them the reason why you are where you are. And pray that God will open their eyes. Two questions. Do you know the way? And the way is not just Proverbs. The way is Jesus Christ. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you do not know the way, today you need to give your life to Jesus Christ. Number two, have you lost your way? When you lose your way, he doesn't say, well, you made your bed, now you got to lie in it. He says, come on.
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. Raising children is difficult, but the Bible promises us that if we train them to love the Lord, as they grow, even if they lose their way, they will always return to Him. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org, and for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.